A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 8, 1987, in the series The Human Face of God, entitled The Mystery of Salvation, God Was in Christ. The scripture reading is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 21. The text for the sermon is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
This first message points to the mystery of our salvation. The mystery of our salvation, which is that God was in Christ. That is a biblical statement. It is a simple, straightforward statement by the Apostle Paul, which points to a very profound mystery. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Salvation is the consequence of the initiative of God, who at a specific time and place in the structures of our history and human existence, in the humanity of Jesus Christ, reached out to our world and brought about our salvation. The mystery of salvation is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. That little statement creates an image, and I hope that it can be a statement that focuses our attention and speaks to us that saving, gracious Word of God by which we know that we have been embraced in His love, that we indeed are the people who have been redeemed by His grace. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. I wish we could stick with that statement in terms of our Christology, our understanding of Jesus Christ. The church has tried desperately over the centuries to gain understanding of its faith, and the church at its worst has tried to unravel the mystery. And I suppose I have been the worst of the worst in trying always rationally to understand the mystery of salvation. It was sort of a disease I caught as a child. I can remember in catechism trying to understand the theories of the atonement. Now that phrase almost sounds obscene to me today, the theories of the atonement. I remember as a child learning the technical terminology for the understanding of the sacrament that's before us. In catechism, I learned that transubstantiation was the Catholic high medieval doctrine, which stated that the bread and the wine did not look any different after the consecration by the priest, but nonetheless they had been transformed, transposed, to become the body and the blood of Christ. I learned that Martin Luther, at the time of the Reformation, tried to edge away from what he thought was a misunderstanding and an abuse of that. And so the word consubstantiation was used, which meant that the body and the blood were in, with, and through the bread and the wine, but there was not the essential transposition of the elements. I remember then learning of John Calvin, who tried to get just a pinch away from Luther, who said that the bread and the wine were not changed in their essential makeup, but rather when one ate believingly with a trusting heart, the Holy Spirit made the bread and the wine, the body and the blood to the believer. And then there was that radical reformer Ulrich Zwingli on the left who said, it doesn't become anything but what it is. It is a memorial feast in which we remember the past act of the death of Jesus for our salvation. Well, if it's necessary to be saved to understand those kinds of technicalities, then there's no one at Christ Community that will be saved, I fear. For we don't plague our children with the kinds of things with which I was plagued, if indeed it was a plague. I wonder if anybody can turn out so good as me if you don't come that way. Sometimes. But I can't really believe that there is much saving grace in laying on our children those highly technical, philosophical, doctrinal distinctions. What were all of those distinctions trying to say? For I don't put down the church that has wrestled over the centuries with the articulation of the faith. I know that blood has literally been shed over trying to say what happened when God was in Christ. But I also believe that the older I grow and the longer I wrestle with it, the more necessary it is for us simply to place ourselves before the mystery of the God of salvation, to place ourselves in humility and adoration before the God who has come to save us and redeem us, to recognize that it is all His initiative, that it is all His grace, and that it is His steadfast purpose which He will surely accomplish, for He has acted in Jesus Christ our Lord. The mystery of salvation is that the eternal God has determined that He would make friends with us, that He would achieve that friendship, that through His own action He would reconcile the world to Himself. To be reconciled is to speak of a relationship that was broken, that is fixed. And the Apostle Paul says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And I wonder if I am being superficial and naive in believing that somehow or another that is enough to say, I believe that in Jesus Christ, God has acted for the salvation of the world. I believe that in Jesus Christ, God has reached out to me to embrace me in His grace. To believe that in the proclamation of the gospel as the word is preached, and in the celebration of the sacrament as the bread is taken and the wine is drunk, that in that faithful, believing participation and hearing, that I can take for granted that that which is spoken is true for me, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. It seems to me that if one is fully gripped by the conviction that the good and gracious God has acted in Jesus for our salvation, that that word can be heard in the proclamation, and that that proclamation can be confirmed in the bread and the wine, believing that the God who is the source of life, who enlivened Jesus, the Word made flesh in our midst for our salvation, who gave His life and then gives Himself, the risen Christ, through the Spirit in the bread and in the wine, that in all of that there is the continual flow of the life of God through Jesus in the Spirit to the believer, to you and to me, and that we are indeed in touch with the life-giving, enlivening vitality of God in both the Word and the Sacrament, because we point both in Word and in Sacrament to Jesus, in whom God was embodied for the salvation of the world. Is it naive or superficial to stop there and to bow before that mystery, to receive it, to hear it, to believe it, to receive it, and to appropriate it, and to go forth from this place confident in the salvation which is all of God and all of grace? That, I would suggest, is the place where our Lenten pilgrimage ought to begin, with the mystery of our salvation, that God was in Christ. That as we trace the passion of our Lord, we'll see in it not only the faithful response of that truly human man, but also the revelation of the glory of God. That as we trace the passion pilgrimage of Jesus, we'll see not only that which we are called to be, but indeed the glory of the saving God who is reaching out to us and inviting us home, embracing us by His grace. The text says that the mystery of salvation is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. And so I do announce that to you this morning. I do announce the gospel of salvation. I don't simply analyze it. I don't simply tear it apart and try to define it any further. I announce it to you, for that is the announcement of the gospel. That is that which ought to overwhelm us at least sometime or other. The announcement of the gospel, what I offer to you today, is not some glorious possibility. It is the announcement of a grand reality. It is not the announcement of what could be, or might be, or might apply to someone, or if only I were this, or if only I were that. It is not something that is for someone else. What I announce to you today is that the God of salvation has made available for us, indeed has effected for us, the salvation which He has planned before the foundation of the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. I announce to you a salvation that is accomplished. It is not something that may happen or that possibly could be achieved or that maybe will be ours one day if everything is right. I announce to you today the salvation of the redeeming God. That's amazing. And Paul, when he said, if we have been convinced that one died for all, then all have died. And if one died for all and all have died, then we ought no longer to live for ourselves, but for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. For the apostles said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. He who knew no sin, to Him God imputed our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And if anyone is in Him, he is a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. The gospel of the grace of God is that action that has been accomplished in Jesus Christ and is for us now to appropriate, to believe, and to go forth in responsive living in the light of His goodness and mercy. The word is spoken, and the sacrament is offered. God has acted. It is His initiative. As He says in the 18th verse, all of this is of God. Therefore, all of this is of grace. Therefore, all of this is for us, His people, to hear it, to receive it, to participate in it, to appropriate it, and to go forth in the confidence of it. Therefore, it is no longer a question of whether or not you are worthy. It is no longer a question of whether or not you can hold on. It is no longer a question of whether or not somehow or other the gates of glory will be thrown open to you. It is no longer a question of human effort or human possibility or human capability or human goodness or morality. It is a question of grace and salvation. The God who has come to us in Jesus Christ. I don't understand it. But I believe it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And his life now flowing through the living, risen Christ, through his Spirit, comes to us, announced in the gospel, available in the bread and in the wine. Our salvation. Go forth, rejoicing in the reality that is given by the good and gracious God. Alleluia.